ധ്യായാമോദവളാവഗുണ്ടനവതീം തേജോമയീം നൈഷ്ടിക്കീം സ്നിഗ്ധാപാംഗതിലോകിനീം ഭഗവതീം മന്ദസ്മിതശ്രീമുഖീം വാത്സല്യാമൃതവർഷിണീം സുമധുരം സങ്കീർത്തനാലാപിനീം ശ്യാമാംഗീം മധുസിക്തസൂക്തിം അമൃതാനന്ദാത്മികാമീശ്വരീം. So we saw the third shloka of Maya Panchakam couple of days back. So we'll continue with the next shloka, the fourth shloka. We'll see that today. So, but again recapping, revising or looking at Maya again. So Maya is something like which is very tough to understand. Maya is something which is very tough to apprehend. So because apprehension or understanding, the capability of understanding, apprehending, all those are, for that we use instruments like the mind, the sense organs, seeing, hearing, and along with that we also use the mind, intellect, all those. So all those are part of Maya, all those are plays of Maya, therefore it is almost impossible to understand Maya properly. If we have to understand Maya, we have to go to the source of Maya, the substratum in which Maya seems to exist. So that which is the basis of Maya, which is termed in Vedanta as Brahman, we can call it as Ishvara, we can call it by any other name like Krishna, Shiva, Rama, etc. But its very nature is, it is devoid of any name and form. It is something like which doesn't have any particular name or form. It is something which is non-dual, which is existence, Sat-Chit Anandam in nature. It is existence, consciousness and bliss in nature. So it is Advitiyam or Advaitam, and it is the basis of the entire world. The world that we see is in fact one, that one entity of Brahman. So this is not something which is just in Vedanta. We shouldn't think that only Vedanta speaks about such an entity of Brahman. Even even the very ancient hymns of the Vedas, they also speak about this this entire world being one entity. So Purusha Sukta is part of the Rigveda Samhita. It's the 10th chapter of Rigveda. So Purusha Sukta begins by saying that everything is one Purusha. Sahasra Shirsha Purusha, Sahasra Aksha, Sahasra Pad. This entire world is considered as that one being, one pulsating being. So Krishna also speaks about such an entity in his Vishwarupa Darshanam, the chapter of Vishwarupa Darshanam, where everything is equated to that particular entity, that one entity of Brahman or Ishvara. So that entity alone exists. So if that alone exists, then our very nature also has to be that entity. Because if only that exists, then how can we be different from that? So that's why Vedanta says that the I that pulsates inside us, so the I that which is constantly repeating, constantly in the background saying like I exist, I exist, I am there, I am there, I am there, that is in fact Brahman, that is one with Brahman. So why don't we experience Brahman now? So we don't experience such a Brahman now because we have Ahankaram. So Ahankaram works through, Ahankaram means like Ahankaram, I-ness. So I-ness means like I with respect to the world. So this I-ness, like which says I am so and so, which means Aham and Mama as well. So these are my people, these are people I like, these are people I know. So this I and mine, so whatever is this I and mine, this I and mine is what makes us forget our very nature, this pulsation of Brahman. So when Brahman is forgotten, so we saw in the previous day, in the previous to previous day, that even people who are learned, even people who are experts in scriptural texts, people who are able to analyze, critically analyze, preach, and all like scriptural texts, they themselves get deluded by this ahankaram. So Ramana Maharshi also says that the reason why ahankaram is very tough to conquer is that ahankaram poses as our very friend. So ahankaram is something like which appears in front of us as our friend. So friends, like we have, like generally we all have friends in the world. So like, but we rarely do realize that friends and relatives, as Amar Sulupananda once said, so friends and relatives always exploit us. So that is not, oh, Amrita Swarupananda, like I don't, haven't heard Paramartha say that. Paramartha doesn't have to say. Shankara says that in many places. Yavat mitto parjana saktaha, tavan nija parivaro rektaha, gatavati vayo deha paye, bharya bibhyati tasmin kaye. So, Shankara very clearly says, as long as we have capability of earning money, as long as like we people have some input or like something to gain out of us, expectations are always there with worldly people. So as long as that expectation is there, some like our expectations are met, in other words. So as long as expectations are met, people will come to us, people will help us out. But like if we are not able to, one second. Okay, I'm sorry, I got distracted. Yeah, so going back, where was I? I forgot. Okay, anyway, so this ahankaram is there, it causes us trouble, it causes others trouble. So the reason why it causes trouble is, like any person who has ahankaram means like the notion that I am there. So which means I am there means that itself means I am different from the world. So if I am different from the world as a result of this dual notion, we obviously like expect things from the world. So expecting things from the world means the world includes insentient objects and people who are sentient beings. So sentient beings and insentient objects. So that means that like we, what happens in this case, like in this scenario or situation is that we tend to expect a lot from others. So going back to Amrita Swarupananda's statement, like our Shankara's statement, that as long as like we are able to fulfill the expectation of others, so they will be happy with us. The same with us also. So we also expect quite a lot. So one day, like if some discourse is not happening, like Aparna will start like getting very angry. She may even go and complain to Amma. So such dire consequences will happen if based on expectations. So expectations are there in all the fields. So such expectations, like in other words, expectation is a very good word. So the other word for expectation, the bad word for expectation is exploitation. So expectation, if we have expectation from somebody, what does that mean? That means like we have something to gain from the person. That means we exploit the person. So exploitation, that such exploitations are like very common today. Exploitation happens like every now and then. Like we may think exploitation doesn't happen. Even our very parents, who we think like are very close to us, very good to us, they themselves are exploiting us in one or the other way. Because everybody needs like what they want, not what what others really want. In this world, like when we look at the way countries behave, so countries behave as if like they are doing something. And there were news like when the Haiti earthquake happened, after a couple of days, 3 or 4 days, there were news like, and people started complaining that the US has taken control and that like US is not helping other nations to unload other nations and their flights to land. So such things will happen. And like US being a very, very powerful nation, power brings like a lot of ego. So such ego, what would happen is like, we are doing this, we are doing that. People will care quite a lot, saying that I am doing this, like Obama will want to show the world that he can do something. But we all know how much tsunami or Katrina or all those things, like no such nation can help people who really need help, because everybody is caring about their own benefit. So when United States are helping out people now, so they'll be helping out thinking that, okay, like the government will be successful in the next election that comes. So this is not something like that happens at the nation level, but just giving a perspective. It happens at the individual level as well. We always like think about what we can get from others. So that is because of this notion of the ego. If ego is there, then I am so and so, I want something from others. So such things like, what will happen is, we will expect quite a lot from others. So expect from others means like, we will have expectations. Expectations mean, in other words, exploitation. So such exploitations will only give us dukkam in the long run, because such expectations or exploitations will always end one or the other way. It has to end, because till what level can we exploit? If it is Brahman, like we can exploit as much as we want. So even nature or earth is like very huge. The resources or earth is a reservoir of many natural things and fossil fuels as well. So all those are getting exploited, depleted. Ozone layer is depleting, as we know. Temperatures like water is becoming scarce, or like water is kind of drinking water is scarce, but water is kind of occupying more land these days. So that is what is happening today. So we see that like all these like are kind of happening. So exploitation, the maximum exploitation can happen only if the entity is Brahman. So if like only Brahman, like only for Brahman, Brahman is complete, Brahman is full in all aspects. So therefore, that which is full, that which is complete, such an entity, like that which is perfectly complete, that entity we can exploit as much as we want, because Purnamada Purnamidam Purna Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vashishyate. So we take Purnam away. Like we take Purnam away from like Purnam. What will happen? Take out infinity from infinity. Infinity will still remain behind. Infinity will like again remain behind. One second. Okay, I'm sorry. I'm very sorry. So, getting back to the shloka again. So ahankaram, in a way like makes us exploit people or expect things from others. So if it is from Brahman, then it is fine, because Brahman is like the ocean. As much as we may take, it is like infinity. Take infinity out of infinity, infinity still will remain behind. Purnama, purnasya purnamadaya purnameva avashishyate. From Purnam, take Purnam, Purnam alone will remain behind. The same is with respect to Brahman. So if we have to get rid of this expectation and exploitation chain, so this exploitation chain is like so bad today that the two nations like get together. So there was a meet like 1 year or 1.5 years back before about the economy or economic recession, when countries like US and UK and many other nations came together, but they couldn't reach any kind of consensus. So getting like any kind of consensus is like you're trying to solve the issue between Pakistan and India. So the issues will always be there. The reason behind all this is like given by Amma through explaining how marriages are today. So marriage is like two beggars living together. Both want like the affection of others, the attention of others. So what will happen? There will be no gati at all. So that's the case today with everything. Employment. Unemployment rates are very high. Why? Because everybody wants to become something. Everybody wants to become an engineer, doctor. Nothing else. There is nothing else. And put in Americans' perspective, everybody wants to become a software engineer. So if somebody sees you, oh, you are an Indian. Oh, you must be in software industry. So that has become a normal norm. If you meet any brahmachari, the question will be, are you part of Amma's ashram? That will be the question. So similar to that. So that is how today it is. Unemployment is growing because everybody wants to get into the same thing. So in ancient times, that is why the Varna Ashrama Dharma, based on karma, based on activities, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra and all those, everybody had a job, everybody were happy, because everybody knew this truth, they kept Brahman in mind. So Brahma Arpitam Karma, so they used to do karma, Ishvara Arpitam, Nichaya Ardhadam, Chitta Shodakam, Mukti Sadakam, actions performed as an offering to Ishvara. And done with without craving for fruit, that will purify the mind. So that used to be the case. That used to be the case with sannyasis as well as grihasthas. But that is not the case today. Today everybody is trying to see as to how much they can get from others. So it's not about what we can give, what we can get. That is the nature of ahankaram. So does ahankaram stop with just expectations? Definitely no. So ahankaram means bhedam. Bhedam, duality. So don't argue or raise the objection that every time you come to non-duality, because that is the only thing that is worth talking about. Ahankaram, everything that we face, all sorrows, all problems can be traced back to this duality or dual notion in the mind. Ahankaram, the very ahankaram word itself means I-ness. So I-ness means what? I am there only if you are there. So that means I am different from you. Duality. Such duality. Whenever duality is there, it's two-ness. So if two-ness is there, obviously multiple. One becomes two. Two becomes four. Four becomes 16 or 8. Four square is 16. Four into two is 18. So whichever way we want to see. Multiple. It becomes nanatvam. That is why it's called nanatvam. Or many-ness. So when this manyness is there, so when we see this many, multiple things in the world, obviously there will be kind of groupism. So this groupism is so bad today that even organizations, nations, and even the so-called religious people, they create this groupism. So groupism means you're putting into a particular bucket. So, categorization, we can say. Classification. So everything first starts with when a baby is born. So, when a baby is born, the first thing you ask, people don't ask, is a baby good? They'll say, what is its name? Is it male or female? Is it Hindu? Is it Christian? Is it Muslim? So, all those get. And is it what is its nationality? What is its complexion? Is it wheatish? Is it whitish? Is it blackish? Or African American? All those terms, all those get created. So today, if we look at the way the world is, so everywhere this groupism is there. So this groupism is so much that people can't live with each other. People can't mingle with each other. Whenever a black person is talking to a white person, in his mind, in his background, what is happening is, he is thinking, oh, that is the other guy. So when a Hindu child is talking to a Christian child, the children, today everything starts from childhood itself. Why everything starts from childhood? Because like in Christianity, they will preach that, oh, you know, like you should not mingle much with the Hindus. They are different, like they are not proper. And Hindus will say, oh, Christianity is that is different, that is not proper. Nobody really knows what religion is, what is the goal of religion. So therefore, all these groupisms get created. So groupism is not just with these world religions. Internally as well, Brahmins cannot stand the other sects. Even in Brahmins, Ayyars can't stand Ayyangars. The list goes huge. Kanchi people cannot stand the Sringeri people. Amma's ashram people cannot stand Chinmaya mission. Chinmaya mission people cannot stand Paramartha. Paramartha cannot stand. Okay, of course Paramartha can stand because like he doesn't have any organization as such. Therefore he can stand, but his followers may say, oh no, like we cannot follow Chinmaya mission. There are internal rivalries. Ramakrishna mission, this mission, that mission. All these groupisms are cause a lot of problem today. So that is because like we get into this notion of I am so and so. So when this I-ness gets created, like I, which means we forget Brahman, we forget our very nature of Brahman, we forget that this entire world is Brahman. So therefore I become something. When I become something, I get into a particular group based on my character, based on my nature, based on my look. If I am very beautiful, I go into the beautiful gang. If I like coffee, I go into the coffee gang. If I like tea, I go into the tea gang. This gangism goes everywhere. Even if you go to for Amma's ashram, there will be our retreat. There also groupism will be there. People will stand in groups. They cannot go away from that group. The groups cannot be split. Whether it is having lunch, whether it is having dinner, everywhere groupism. So go to any mission, like Amma's mission. Go to Amma's mission and like try to have lunch internally. When Brahmachari is there, have lunch. So you can see the groupism there. Everybody will be sitting and having food in their own group, in their own local community. And okay, like local community is okay. It will help us in some ways because like-minded people get together. But it's not just for helping us, but it is also about cursing or abusing the other group. So group rivalries start. So this person cannot stand that person. That person cannot stand this person. And because their views are different, their opinions are different, nobody is ready to give up. So that causes so many problems everywhere. So problem, he problem. Like wherever we see, there is only problem. In office problem, at home problem, everywhere all these problems are there because of this groupism caused or created out of ahankaram. So apagata guna varna jati bhede sukachiti vipra vidadhyaham kritimcha sphutayati sutadhara geha moham tu agadita gatana patiyasi maya. So all the differences of gunam, jati, varnam, all those differences, like today, since this world is many, the world is based on duality. So duality, in duality you can create any new sects. So if we look at the various subsects of Christianity that is there today, that's huge. It's too many, like Protestant, Catholic, and then like new Catholic, new this, new that, new order. So everywhere like there is newness gets created. So these newness, when these newness get created, it is out of dual notion. It is out of accusing the other sect. So that is where we can see that all the Vedantic systems that got created or developed out of the Vedas after Shankara's time, we see that all of them kind of attack Advaita very well. Ramanujacharya or Madhvacharya, they all denote a lot of time attacking Shankara. So Shankara, on the other hand, Shankara tries to harmonize all these views and put it into one bucket of Advaita, one bucket of like Vedas or Vedanta itself. So I'm not standing for Shankara or standing against all other Acharyas. Everything has a rule. It doesn't matter whether we follow Shankara, like just because we are followers of Shankara, just because like we are with Amma, we are disciples of Amma, doesn't mean like we have two horns in our head, and that doesn't mean like we have a free ticket to moksha. Moksha is Uddhareed Atmanatmanam, na Atmanam Avasadayet. Atmaiva hi Atmano Banduhu, Atmaiva Ripur Atmanaha. So Atman, like if a person uplifts himself, nobody, like a horse can be taken to the pond, it cannot be made to drink water. The horse has to drink water. So people can guide us. So we can get guidance from Amma, we can get guidance from the scriptures, but we have to take the step. Unless and until we take the step, it will be of no use. It doesn't matter whether we are a disciple of like a great person, it doesn't matter. So how many great people are there? How many disciples, like the last Chinmaya Mission Vedanta course had 70 or 80 odd people. So 80 people, 80 disciples of Tejomiyananda. Does that mean like everybody becomes a Tejomiyananda? No. Amma has so many disciples, like does that mean like all those disciples become Amma? No, they don't even come close to Amma. So that is how the world is, like I'm not accusing people like that, but that is how the world is. And it doesn't matter like whether we are in such a place, like whether we are disciples of such a great master. Like there are people like who take both stands. People who say like, I am the disciple of Amma. I am part of Amma's mission. I am doing this. I am doing that. And there are people like who may accuse like even Amma. Oh, you are part of that. Mate. That's not wrong. That's not right. That's wrong. So we should never get into any such dual notion. Whether supporting or non-supporting, going against, that is not our duty. Our duty is not to support Vedanta or reject Vedanta. What is our duty? Our duty is to achieve our goal. What is our goal? Our goal is Ananda. If Vedanta gives us Ananda, we have to seek it. If something else gives us Ananda, let's seek that. Of course, it is Vedanta's like own statement, and it is our conviction, our personal conviction that there is nothing other than Vedanta that can give us Anandam. Nanya Panta Vimuktaye. There is no other way to Anandam. There is no other way. Nobody can create a new way. So people who say like, I have created this new meditation technique. I have created this new thing. So nobody can create anything new. When my person asked Amma about this, like in Michigan, one of the question and answer session, Amma said, like everything is what is already been there. It's already there. It has already been said. It's the same thing that comes again and again. Nothing new can be said. It's already been said in the scriptures. People just rephrase it. Rephrasing may happen. Rephrasing doesn't create a new thing, new concept, new theory. So that, like, if only Vedanta can give us Anandam, which means that we have to follow it. There is no point of telling, he is not respecting Vedanta. What does it matter for us? Just thinking that that person is in a particular group which rejects Vedanta doesn't give us Anandam. It won't give us Anandam. That is again Dvesham. We are getting angry, which means Raga Dvesham, Dvandva Bhavam, Dvaita Bhavam. So why, like, he got more money than me. Why should we care about like he getting more money than me? It doesn't matter. Like am I happy? Am I really happy? Am I blissful? That is what we have to think about. That is what we have to keep in mind rather than trying to compare, trying to think about other things. So such people who think about other things, they get into all these notion of gunam, varnam, jati and all these. All these bhedam, this duality is on what? Sukachiti. They are like illusions in blissful consciousness. So that means like we have to remember that we are bliss personified. So we are bliss in nature. So in that bliss, upon that bliss, we superimpose all this. For what? To get bliss. So what an irony, whichever way you pronounce it. So what a beautiful perspective here. So we are bliss in nature, but we superimpose all this and think that we'll get bliss, that will give us bliss, but that cannot give us bliss. Anityam asukam lokam dvaita bhavam dhundva bhavam, that is lokam. Such a lokam cannot give us anandam. We can get anandam from this world only when we see ishavasyam idam sarvam yat kincha jagatyam jagat. So Ishvara pervades this world as a substratum. Ishvara alone is present everywhere. So wherever we see, we have to see Ishvara. Whatever we see, whatever we do, we have to remember that one truth. If we remember that one truth, then where is gunam, where is varnam, where is jati? There is no varnam, no gunam, no jati. Oh, Shankara just only hints here, like this is not, maybe like you are putting words in Shankara's mouth. Jati niti kula gotra duragam nama rupa guna dosha varjitam desha kala vishayati vartiyat brahma tattvamasi bhavayatmani. In Viveka Chudamani, there are a set of shlokas which Chinmaya himself calls as contemplative shlokas. So where brahma tattvamasi bhavayatmani, contemplate that I am Brahman. So there are very beautiful shlokas. So the first of the set is jati niti kula gotra duragam duragam. Jati niti kulam gotram. Jati niti kulam gotram, all those are like very far from my nature. Nama rupa guna dosha varjitam. Namam rupam gunam dosham, all those are not there for me. Desha kala vishayati vartiyat. This is like this truth, this consciousness which pulsates inside me, this puranam, that is beyond desham, kalam, vishayam. Desham, it is there everywhere. Wherever I see, like whatever I see, like there is I there. Without that I, how can we think about something else? We cannot think about anything else. Even when we dream, when we think about Rome, when we think about Italy, when we think about India, when we think about Himalayas, there we are there. I has to be there. So this I is all pervasive. So this I is present everywhere. So this is beyond, all pervasiveness means beyond space. It's not limited to space. It's not like this body which is limited to a particular space. It's not limited to time as well. Because in waking state, dream state, deep sleep, like at all times we are there. I am there at all times. Oh, I died during death. How do we know I died during death? Death, what we call as death, is the state of non-existence. So death is a state of non-existence. Like how can we non-exist and say that non-existent state is death? If we have to term that non-existent state or then that particular point as death, that means like we should experience that death. And we do experience that death. Why? Death of the body. It's not the Atman. I am still there even at the time of that death. And during the point of death, I am there, I witness it, therefore I say death is there, death is happening to me. It is a superimposition, it's an illusion. Death is not happening to me. So like Ramana Maharshi also says, like it gives a very beautiful analogy to illustrate this adhyasam or superimposition. So we get into a train and we say like, oh, the train is going. The train is moving at such so and so speed. Okay, the train is moving, so what are you doing? I am going. Am I really going? I'm not going. I'm not moving at all. I am not moving at all. But we say, I am going. How can I go? I'm not going there. The train is going. The train is moving. The motion of the train is superimposed on me who am just sitting in the train. So that means like that is superimposition. So similarly, like we think we are this ahankaram. Ahankaram is associated with this body. This I is called A, I called B, I called C is based on the body. I am a man, I am a woman. So all those are based on this body. So based on this body, when we have those notions, what happens is, like we tend to get into all these like illusions, and therefore we think I take birth, I die. So Krishna again and again says, Natvevaham jatunasam. Natvam neme janadipaha nachayvana bhavishyamaha sarve vayam asapparam. So in the very beginning Krishna says to Arjuna that these people, they are not going to die. There was never a time when they were not there. They are always there. They are there now. They'll be there in the future as well. So I am always there. I am beyond time means I always exist. I am beyond this causation. Causation means this change, this cause-effect theory, philosophy or theory where like one thing gets created and it dies. I don't take birth. I don't die. So that means like I am always there. So I am beyond all this. Such a Brahman I am. So that is like Varnam Gunam Jati. So all those are not there for me. And like people, even though this is like kind of very clear and people who follow Vedanta, they will argue like, yo, women should not learn. How foolish such people are. How much foolish they should be. And even after learning Vedanta, they think that women cannot learn Vedanta. Why? Because they are women. What is there like between women and men? Vedanta itself says there is no men, man and woman. Man and woman, whom do we call a man and woman? It should be the body. Because of like physical differences. Or with respect to mental, women are more emotional, men are more intellectual. Am I the body? I'm not the body. If I am the body, then in dream, like I get into a different body, I don't see this body, but still I am there. After death also I am there. So that means I am not the body. Am I the mind? If I am the mind, I am in deep sleep. The mind is not there. If the mind is there in deep sleep, then it will dream. So dream means mind is there. Mind's activity means dream. So deep sleep means like we don't dream anything there. It's dreamless deep sleep. Dreamless sleep. So that means there is no, we don't see anything there. So if we don't see anything there, that means that mind is not there. So I am not the mind. So if I am not the mind or the body, then how can we say like women should not learn, men should not learn? Like what more foolishness can that be? Even though it is very foolish and like all this logic can be explained to such people, they will never learn. So that is why a sadhaka should always remember that my goal is not to preach Vedanta. My goal is not to like... After learning a couple of scriptures, my goal is not to go around and say, oh, learn Vedanta. And whenever somebody like accuses Vedanta, then get very sad or dejected. So that is not my goal. That's not our goal. Our goal is to remain like Vedanta. Like if we learn Vedanta properly, Vedanta says, all these gunam, varnam, jati and all are like illusions. They are superimposed on me. And what are they based on? Based on ahankaram. And ahankaram becomes like I am a vipra. I am like a brahmin. I am learned. I am so and so. And then sutta dhara geha moham. So bharya, putram, dhanam. So all those will be there. So my wife, my children, my wealth, my possession. So all those get created. So when all those get created, like even the notion that I am part of something, like I am part of this mission, I am part of this Vedanta group. So all that should not be, nothing should be there in our mind. Like a Vedantic seeker or a sadhaka who really wants to learn Vedanta, really is dedicated to Vedanta, will always be without bhedam. Manasei vedam aptavyam. Neha nanasti kinchana mrityo samrityam gacchati yaiha nana iva pashyati. So know through the mind that there is no duality here. So there is no duality, kinchana, not even little. So we know like everything is just name and form. Everything is name and form of Brahman. Why everything is name and form of Brahman? Again going back, and everything like exists. So existence is only one which is Brahman. Multiple existences cannot be there. It is something like which is common among everything. So that is one Brahman. And like this duality existence, multiple existences can be there. Then like when we go to sleep, the multiple existences should be there. When we sleep, this entire world merges. Entire world temporarily vanishes, which means that which temporarily vanishes cannot be real. So that means the world is not real. So that which is not real, when we see a snake in the rope, the snake is not real. So that which is not real requires real substratum to even seem to exist. So when we see the snake, it requires a rope. If rope is not there, how can we even see the snake? seeing the snake itself is wrong, but such a wrong vision also requires a real rope. Real means real at the empirical viewpoint. At the worldly level, it is real. So without that rope, snake cannot be seen. So similarly, this world, this dual world, which is unreal, anityam, asukam. So anityam means temporary. Temporary means unreal. So this unreal world, if it has to exist, then it requires a substratum, a real substratum, and that real substratum is existence in nature. That existence in nature is what we call as Brahman. So that Brahman, is this entire world. So there is no duality at all. If we see duality, it is just like name and form. A name, a form. So there is no duality at all here. And he who sees duality, yaihanana iva pashyati, who sees duality as if it is there, such a person, mrityosa mrityam gachati, he goes from death to death, which means he suffers a lot. So this bheda chinta, if we have this vision of duality, when we see duality in this world, we will get attached and averted, ragam dvesham, and that will cause trouble. So any ragam dvesham, it doesn't matter whether it is ragam dvesham towards Vedanta, whether it is ragam dvesham towards Amma, whether it is ragam dvesham towards worldly objects, it doesn't matter what we are attracted or attached and averted to. If we are attached and averted to anything, if we have any bhedam, if we have any notion of duality, whatever be it, it will cause us suffering. It will cause us sorrow. It will cause us to get immersed in Vedanta, in samsara sagaram over and over again. So we will be tossed around in this samsaram, and as we know very well, punarapi jananam, punarapi maranam, punarapi janani jatare shayanam, yaha samsare bahudustare kripaya pare pahi murare. So if this samsara sagaram is very tough to conquer, so if we have this dvandva bhavam, this dual notion, then we will be tossed around, we will take more and more births in order to fulfill our desires, in order to fulfill we want to achieve in life. So dual notions will cause these expectations. When these expectations are caused, then we will face only sorrow, again birth, again death. After taking birth, we will try to change a lot of things. We will try to experience happiness from the world. We cannot get any happiness from the world because the world is constantly changing, and therefore at the end of this life, after wasting another precious human birth, we will be again taking birth over and over again. Irrespective of whether we go to a spiritual master like Amma, irrespective of whether we go to the greatest of temples, Tirupati or Kailasam, it doesn't matter where we go, wherever we go, whatever we do, if we don't remember that Brahman alone exists, this Advaita Bhavam, if that is not there, if we don't have any Advaita Bhavam, then we will experience sorrow and sorrow alone. That alone can be the outcome of this Bheda Bhavam, or the notion that duality is there. So it is one thing to support Vedanta, it is another to get so much attached to this Vedanta. If we get attached to Vedanta, we will get averted to whatever is not Vedanta. That is also not good. So this doesn't mean we should show off. Yesterday I listened that I should not get attached to Vedanta, so from tomorrow I'll not attend Vedantic classes, Vedantic discourses. So that is different. It is one thing to say get attached, and it is another thing to say follow this sadhana, the sadhana of shravanam, listen, hear and learn. So that is a sadhana. So it is one thing to get attached to Vedanta, it is another thing to learn Vedanta. Attachment to Vedanta will always be associated with aversion to other things, which means we will attack people who don't respect Vedanta. We will try to pull people into Vedanta. All those are fine. Those are all good. But desire to learn Vedanta means I know Vedanta will give me happiness, and therefore I want to learn Vedanta. So that is something which should be there. So in order to gain anandam, in order to have Advaita Bhavam, I want to learn Vedanta, I want to stay away from partying, all those are good. There is no aversion or attachment there. Attachment and aversion means that like we are so much affected by it. So attachment and aversion, when we are attached to somebody, which means like if we remove that person away, we'll get very affected. So that should not be the case. We should try Vedanta says, like we should always try to strive to keep possessions. So if we are attached to something, we should try to keep the possession. But somehow like if we are not able to keep the possession, we should still be happy. A person like who wants to learn Vedanta, if I'm not able to learn Vedanta, good. If I'm not able to learn Vedanta, still I am good. Oh, let me remember, let me revise whatever Vedanta I have learned. That should be the attitude. We should not get attached to anything. Attachment to even Vedanta is also dangerous, will also cause us sorrow only. So we have to follow sadhanas, but we should never be attached to any of those. All these like should make us maintain Advaita Bhavam. So when these are not there still, when Vedanta is not there, when we are not learning Vedanta, when we are not listening to Vedanta, whatever we have listened till now, that should make us maintain that non-dual notion in our mind. So that is the goal. So if that is there, then we'll be able to overcome this Maya very easily. Else, so as we learnt in the second shloka, even if we have learned Vedanta, Vedanta itself becomes a source of sorrow. So we see many people going to Amma, in Amma's like life history, we see many people going to Amma and saying, I have learned Vedanta, but that has not learned the I have learned the Shastras, but that is not giving me any happiness. Today we see that many people like who have learned Vedanta, many people who have taken the sannyasa margam in Amma's ashram and other ashrams, they are not happy today. So they are not happy like even after taking such a good way, good path. Why? Because they still have this Dvaita Bhava. So it doesn't matter whether we are in Kailasam, Vaikuntham or any ashram. It doesn't matter even if we learn from Adi Shankaracharya himself. It doesn't matter. If we don't have this Advaita Bhavam, then we will experience sorrow and sorrow alone. So that means like, why sorrow alone? Because when we forget Brahman, then it is Maya. It is either Brahman or Maya. Either this or that. So or that or this. So if we forget Brahman, Maya comes into picture. When Maya comes into picture, Maya creates agadita gatana patiyasi Maya. Maya creates things which are unreal, but still which may seem to be very real. So real that we will get so deluded by it, so distracted by it that we will experience sorrow. Not just in this birth, but in like many many births to come. So we should always try to maintain that Advaita Bhavam, Advaita Chinta in our mind, that everything is one Brahman. So we should never get into any Dvandva Bhavam, Dvaita Bhavam. We should have like our preferences. My preference is I want to learn Vedanta. So this doesn't mean tomorrow, oh, let me watch movie with my friend like instead of learning Vedanta. That should not be the case. We should like have our sadhana, but we should not get attached to even the sadhana. This sadhana of Vedanta, if we really follow, it will get rid of even the Vedanta attachment. Because Vedanta itself will say, so any Vedantin would say that will definitely say that don't get even attached to Vedanta. So no true guru will say like get attached to me. All true gurus will try to get the disciples detached from themselves, because all attachment, whether it is to a particular person, whether it is to a particular entity, whether it is Vedanta, will cause us sorrow only. So Vedanta will help us get rid of all attachments, even Vedantic attachment, by asserting this Advaita Bhavam over and over again. So the more and more we repeat in our mind, I should always maintain Advaita Bhavam. I should remember that everything is Brahman. It's as simple, we don't have to do much. We just have to remember in the mind that there is only Brahman, there is only Brahman, there is only Brahman. So if we do that, like once we are able to do that, then we will be able to remain very blissful amidst all the problems that we are facing in the world today. So today, like we are facing many problems, climatic changes, earthquakes, hurricane, tornadoes, all those are there. And then groupism, all those, like everything is there. Whether we are, like even we, if we take sannyasam and go to a forest or a cave or a mission, there also problems are there. Problems are there everywhere. Because the solution, the way to get rid of problem is not not externally, but it is something which is internally in our mind, Advaita Bhavam. We should always have Advaita Bhavam in our mind. If we have Advaita Bhavam in our mind, then we'll be able to remain blissful at all times. So may Amma bless us so that we may be able to overcome Maya. Maya means Dvaita Bhavam. By having Advaita Bhavam at all times, so that we are able to remain ever blissful. We'll continue in the next day, I'm sure.